what would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hi there. Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. If you're, anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. This show is every Monday night from 9 till 10 o'clock, recorded here in the lovely local 107.3 FM studios on the UNB St. John campus. We're also streaming out on Facebook and YouTube. I don't even know what this show is supposed to be anymore. This is just about whatever I feel like talking about week to week. Sometimes it's comedy, sometimes it's politics. Sometimes I'm just going to talk about myself, and that's it's going to be one of those videos. A little bit of comedy, I suppose. So anyway, I have no notes for this episode. I'm a bit riled up. There will be some rambling, I'm sure. I'm just, not having a great couple of weeks. I don't like to admit it. I don't like to, show weakness, but, you know, there's only so much that a man can take. Or a person. I don't even know. What is a non-binary? Am I one? I don't know. I don't feel like a man. Anyway, that's a complete side topic. I've talked about some of this on the show, but, you know, real kick in the pants after kick in the pants. Last week I talked about my bike. My pedal bike was stolen out of my shed at my home. No prospects of the police finding that. Probably not. Maybe, fingers crossed. I haven't submitted an insurance claim yet, but it has a $1,000 deductible, so I might as well not even have one. My car was, last week on the way to the show, I was literally dragging my exhaust pipe down Foster Thurston Road. I was one of those guys for the first time in my life. So, anyway, needed to get that fixed. All four brakes were also out. So $1,100 later, my old car, which is barely scraping by. Again, I make a comfortable living. I'm not crying poverty here. But anyway, it's still a lot of money to be thrown out the window. The car thing, that's uncontrollable, but, you know, stolen bike, less so. Work has been just an absolute disaster for the last couple of years, more so in the last couple of months. I used to really like this job, but, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm almost 5 years deep in this thing, and, I don't know if I can only put up with working for any company for that amount of time before I've had enough. It's about the same amount of time that I worked at my, Irving job. That was, the downfall there was well documented on this show. But, you know, it's, I just feel like the company, treats everyone like garbage, and, I'm getting pretty sick of it. You know, worker shortage and all that stuff, and nobody wants to work, but, not a lot of prospects for old John Forward, and I've been looking. You know, part of it is, you know, finding something of a comparable wage, I suppose, to what I'm going for now. I would settle for less money for something that's less stressful. I'm not sure how much, though. But anyway, comedy has been not too bad. Still not, you know, not a whole lot of shows going on. It's, you know, it's been ramping up over COVID. You know, had a bit of comedy drama over the past couple of days, and it's I'm well familiar. Comedy drama is well trodden territory for old John Forward here, but it's got a little bit of a different flavor this time, and I'll get into it. But I think, where do I want to start with this thing? This is going to be a mess. I guess just some background on, I guess, how I see myself within my place in the comedy community. I run a comedy show called No Jokes Barred, and it's pretty self-explanatory what the mission statement is. It's for no jokes to be barred. And that started as a bit of a reaction. You know, I've always been somebody with a dark sense of humor, and I take great joy in saying the things that you're not supposed to say. I try not to be cruel in my comedy. I'm certainly not, you know, suggesting that anybody deserves any less rights than anybody else or any of that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's just my sense of humor. My intention is never to, like, hurt anybody or diminish anybody, but, you know, I've made some cheap jokes in my day that, you know, sometimes they cross the line, but that's kind of the whole process, and that's kind of what No Jokes Barred is all about. And I know when I first started doing comedy shows, I noticed that there was some shows where you could push it a little bit, and it's fine. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes you bomb horribly. But there was also, I mean, when I started doing comedy, it was a much smaller comedy scene. So there was a weird mindset amongst the older guard in the comedy scene that seemed to be primarily focused on winning over senior citizens and not offending them. Things have gotten a little bit better since then. That doesn't seem to be the primary demographic for us non-British comedians. But so I got kind of sick of, you know, one show in particular. I was planning on doing a relatively clean set, and I was very upset that that the show booker kind of pulled me aside and was like, we don't want to scare these people away. You got to keep it reasonable. I'm like, and this is basically an open mic comedy show. You can have whatever rules that you want if you're selling tickets and stuff, but an open mic show, I feel like, should be an open mic show. And I've always thought that it's better for comedy, it's better for the show, it's better for the comedians, and on the whole, is better for the audience when the comedians have the freedom to just kind of go for it. I've always said I would rather have somebody try something and fail than to kind of keep it on the shelf because, you know, they're worried that it might not go well, or they might get in trouble, or they might not ever get booked on this show again. That's not the ecosystem that I wanted to create. Everybody else, I mean, I'll have my opinions about it, but I'm not going telling anybody else how they should be running their stuff. I will complain about how they run it, but I'm not telling them to change necessarily. And, you know, sometimes the No Jokes Barred philosophy makes me pull my collar a little bit. Sometimes when I'll just blurt out something inappropriate that afterwards I'm like, no, that was too much. And there's been some comedians that have approached or even possibly crossed the line. And I don't know where it is, and I don't trust anybody to be in charge of where it is. So sometimes things can get dicey at a No Jokes Barred show, but anybody that's going to a show with that title should be prepared for that kind of thing. So as part of my reputation as a comedian, I feel like I'm seen as, like, the offensive comedian guy. I mean, that's not really how I would want to advertise myself. I'm not going to deny that I ever have offensive material, but that's just my sense of humor. So that has limited my opportunities within the comedy scene. And I mean, I don't love that, but I don't know how to do it any other way. I don't think I could write a good set necessarily that's like got like mass broad appeal. I don't even know if I would want to. I mean, that's a skill that I would love to have. I just, at this point, I don't think that I have it. So I kind of go for it. I'm going to do my own thing. I try not to pull any punches. And, you know, that has limited my possibilities somewhat, and I understand it on some level. Less so for an open mic. If it's an open mic, anybody should be able to do whatever. You know, shows that you're selling tickets, then you can be a little bit more choosy. But an open mic should be an open mic. I understand that, you know, for somebody who's risk adverse, I can see why somebody would rather book a mediocre comedian that, even if they're not doing well, they're probably not going to upset the audience in the way that a John Forward has the potential to do. That's never the goal, but, you know, it has happened. So, you know, that limits my options. And there's other people that get more... that get more opportunities than I do, that I personally feel are not as good of a comedian as I am. But, you know, like it's like Chris Trotter says in the opening of the show with John Forward, he's either going to kill or he's going to suck. There's no in between. And that's something I'm working on. But, you know, I could have, I could blow the roof off the place, or I could bomb horribly and, you know, that's a dice roll that not everybody's willing to take, and I understand that. Whereas if you've got a mediocre comedian, they can go on stage, and if they bomb, then everybody's just like, when's the next one coming on? That's the worst-case scenario. People probably aren't looking at their watches during a John Forward set. Yes, Kaif, Arif Hussein... always going hard on the Colombians. I appreciate the no jokes part. But there's also, I've also got kind of a reputation for being outspoken about certain things. I do not suffer fools gladly. So if somebody picks a fight, I'm usually going to pick right back. And, you know, maybe that's not a good thing, but it is who I am. I poke, and I enjoy winding some people up sometimes. I admit that. It's not necessarily a positive thing, but, you know, that's who I am. So I tend to have a weird superpower where I can just, with a quick turn of phrase, I can make an unhinged person go full Kanye. And sometimes it's entertaining, sometimes not so much. And but generally, over the years, I've had a few interactions with a few people that kind of went that way. And, you know, for a little while, I started to think, you know what? You know, I got into a fight with this person. I got into a fight with this person. I got into the fight with this person. The common denominator is me. So it makes me wonder, like, am I the asshole in this situation? I mean, I want to think that this is just happening because, you know, I speak up for what I believe in, and some people don't like that, but that's kind of the exact thing that an asshole would say. So am I that? But across the board, I think every other comedian that I've had drama and beefs with has also gotten into fights with a long list of other people. So I'm more inclined to think that these people that that go full Kanye on me, they're going full Kanye on a lot of people. So maybe it's not just me. So that limits my possibilities. So sometimes these people that I've poked at, They get mad at me. They don't want to book me. Sometimes these people have friends who they get mad at me and they don't want to book me, or they don't want to book me because their friend would get mad at them for booking me. So that happens. Brian Giles, you are an asshole, but you are our asshole. I am my own sovereign citizen, but I appreciate the sentence. I will not be owned by anyone, though. So that limits the possibilities, but that's been going on for a while, and I've come to terms with it. But the last couple of years, it has taken a bit more of a turn where it's kind of more nebulous. There are still the Kanyes that will duke it out with me in the comments and the private messages, but there seems to be a growing contingent of people that just don't want to be associated, but don't have the nerve to actually say anything to me. I mean, I am super intimidating, so I get it. I'm a alpha dude and all. Everybody's worried that they're going to get pummeled if they say the wrong thing to me. But part of it is, you know, especially I think Donald Trump kind of broke North America as a whole. It made everybody on both sides of the political spectrum, which I don't consider myself either on either side. It seems to have broken a lot of people, and everybody's just kind of gone crazy. So there's the whole social justice angle that has been ramped up considerably in the last couple of years. And, it's bizarre. It's kind of gross. And the worst thing is that I'm sympathetic to a lot of these lefty progressive things. I believe it or not, for several years, within my little circle of edgelords was the one that would get made fun of as being the social justice warrior of the group. And, you know, it had found its way into my material a little bit in a way that I don't feel like I was on a soapbox or, you know, virtue signaling, just, you know, but it's come in there. I've got a whole bit that I haven't done in a while about, you know, how I think prostitution should be legal, which, you know, I tried to find a funny angle on it, but that's something that I actually believe. I think that, you know, as with most things, when the government tries to ban it, it just makes the problem worse. Drugs would be another example, but that's a less controversial take. So stuff like that. And I've been, you know, my dear wife, May, I don't know if she would self-identify as a feminist anymore. She used to be a lot more social justice warrior-y before I wore her down with my hate. But, you know, I'm sympathetic to that world. I understand that there is, you know, racism and bigotry and transphobia, power imbalances, you know, income inequality, all of that stuff. I'm with the SJWs on what the problems are sometimes. But almost 100% of the times where we part ways is who's to blame and what should we do about it. Usually they're wrong. And so anyway, I'm sympathetic to the problems that they identify in the world. But I don't really think that fits well with stand-up comedy. I mean, anytime something feminist-leaning or like SJW-y found its way into my set, I tried really hard not to be preachy. Maybe I wasn't successful. I'm not sure. But at the time that I was saying it, it was before, you know, the whole social justice thing became like the huge thing that it is in 2022. So when I was talking about that stuff, I was talking about stuff that wasn't being talked about a whole lot. And I think that's an important part of comedy. It's certainly something that I try to do. I wanna say the thing that nobody else is saying. At that time, you know, that kind of more progressive type stuff was not really something that was being talked about as much as it is today. Now, all of that stuff is front and center. Every giant corporation, almost every politician, every news corporation is all on the same page with this stuff. So even if I agree, what a boring set to just parrot the same stuff that you can see on the news and from every politician's speech and from every TV show and every movie. Boring. And so I don't talk about that stuff anymore because there's other people that are doing the job for me. But the current social justice people are some of the meanest, vile, cruel people on earth. They will, take a look at Twitter, or even like as a bigger whole. I know Twitter is a bit of a cesspool, but I mean, if you compare, there's certainly some right wing nutcases that say some crazy stuff. But like, oh my God, can you imagine the combination of people that think that they're the good guys that are on the right side of history? That gives them license to be the worst people on earth. Not all of them. Brian Giles bullies, SJW bullies. That's what it is. These are people that would be bullies no matter where they lived or what year it was. But the unique problem in 2022, and has been the case for a few years now, is that these people that would be seen as bullies by anybody on earth at any other time, they get to be bullies but pretend to be the good guys. So what I've seen more and more over the last couple of years in the comedy scene is these people that take on the social justice mantle to various degrees of sincerity. I have no idea who actually means it anymore, or if that's just the thing. But instead of using those ideas to improve the world, they're using it as a cudgel to bully anybody that they don't like. So they use it as an excuse to be gatekeepers. Almost everybody that books shows in New Brunswick has some gatekeeping tendencies. I try my best not to do so. I've got a very short list of people that I won't book on my show. And, you know, there is room for redemption for even those poor souls. But it seems to be, I mean, it would be one thing if I was up there, railing off about whatever topic that you're not supposed to say, and the audience was, oh, and like I was bombing horribly, which, you know, it happens sometimes, but not consistently. And if the audience doesn't want to see me, that's fine. But more and more, it seems to be the other comedians are the arbiters of what is allowed to be seen by their audiences. Because I know I have done many shows in that world. For example, I had many shows at the Abbey Cider House. It's a vegan cafe in Fredericton. SJW Central. But I can mostly navigate that world when I want to. there's certain material that I'm not going to do because I know it's not going to go over well there. So, you know, if I'm in a situation like that, I can pull up my stool and I can tell a sad story about my childhood trauma and they eat that shit up. And so, I mean, I have a much better track record as an edgelord comedian when I'm in those kind of shows than the SJW comedians have when they're doing a No Jokes Barred show. Most of those people don't get much from my crowd. And it's not because my crowd is a bunch of hate monsters. As a counterexample, on the last No Jokes Barred, which I touched on, was it last week that May was on or the week before? Somebody had a set that was, yikes. They were talking about how women like to be raped and explained how they would go about it. I don't think that this person was... I mean, I'm not taking this in the... It's in the context of a comedy show. It was unsuccessful. I don't think this person's an actual rapist, nor were they condoning it. They were, you know... This is a young guy who was doing edgy stuff. And, you know, I saw a little bit of myself in this young lad. So I appreciated the swing, but it went very badly. And and the audience hated it. I'd be a little bit more uncomfortable with the No Jokes Barred thing if people were throwing out the craziness and my audience was like, yeah, rape. But that's not the case. My people hated it. And most of the time when somebody really does cross the line where it's just mean and not funny, they're not doing well at my show with that material either. And generally, the people that do that kind of material either get better or they quit. I've been running the show since 2014, and that's usually what happens. There's nobody that was doing that kind of material that was just for years and crushing with it. Well, one, maybe it could be argued. No longer doing comedy, though. And so that's what's going on. So lots of gatekeeping. My assessment is that a lot of these comedians that want to be gatekeepers and decide who's allowed to be on what show and who's not are often mediocre. And they don't like the competition, so it's more opportunities for themselves. And if you book a show that is all mediocre comedians, then the audience is fooled into thinking that everybody is great. But if you've got one John Forward in there crushing, then it makes everybody else look a little bit worse. Or maybe I bomb and I slink away in defeat. So it seems to be more the people in charge are deciding what's allowed to happen more than it is based on, you know, what the audience will put up with. Because, you know, somebody that's doing edgier material like that, part of the skill of doing that well is to take a topic or an idea that you know by default is upsetting to most people. And trying to kind of trick them into laughing anyway. That's the trick of being an edgy comedian. You say something horrible that you probably don't mean, and the audience member certainly doesn't agree with. But if you can trick them into finding the humor into saying the bad thing, then that's a successful joke. Comment here from ENSD. It is the job of a comic to push the edge. Sadly, there is no real mentorship outside of open mics for new comics to learn how to use the craft to push the edge. Hopefully, the person will learn and grow. I agree. And the frustrating thing for me is when I get excluded from all of these shows. It really stunts my growth as an artist. I'm being super pretentious right now. It makes it harder for me to be a better comedian, because the way to become a better comedian, no matter what, you can listen to all the advice in the world and, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It's coming from an amateur New Brunswick stand-up comedian, so you don't need to listen to me, but I don't think that there's a successful comedian on earth that wouldn't say number one top priority is to do as many different sets in front of as many different kinds of people as you can. And that's how to be a better comedian. So when these people shut me out of shows, it makes me a worse comedian, and I don't like that. And it's 9:30, so I'll remind you guys that we're listening to local 107.3 FM. Whew, I've been talking for 30 minutes straight. Let's take a quick break. Thank you, Dan. I'm always happy to do your show, and I'm glad that you'll have me. Let's take a quick break so I can get a drink of water, and then we'll continue as to some of the recent true colors shown by some of these people. So let's go with King of the Rotten by Corrosion of Conformity. I think that's a good fit for what we just heard. If it's gonna play, I'm not hearing anything in my headphones. Oh, there we go. King of the Rotten, John Forward. I was the king of all the rotten, would you be my queen? A little Corrosion of Conformity. So we've been talking about the garbage people that hide their bullying behind a slick veneer of social justice, and I've had some dealings with a particular person in this category. I don't know. I'm not going to name names. I think most of the people listening to this know who I'm talking about. I haven't had that many guests on the show since COVID, and she has been a guest on this show, so figure it out. Primarily amongst the social justice woke scolds. This person in particular has had an axe to grind with me for many years. And I've gotten into, varying degrees of getting along and not getting along. I am no stranger to getting gigantic walls of text via Facebook Messenger from this person having a meltdown on me. And have I poked? Absolutely, 100%. Have I said or done anything even approaching the levels of lunacy from this person? Not even close. This person is, I think, representative of the whole crew of woke scolds. She's just a little bit more vocal about it than some of the other more cowardly lions. This person has been screeching and screeching and screeching about the toxicity in the scene and everybody saying mean jokes and using words that she doesn't like. And all of that jazz, which you are allowed to have that opinion. That's fine. I disagree. And again, I feel like in the context of doing a comedy set, the rules are a little bit different. And it's just crazy to me that a comedian is bashing on other comedians for their material. If they're bombing constantly, then that's worth making fun of. The guy who did all the rape set on my show, most of everybody, including myself on the rest of the show, went pretty hard on that kid, and he took it in stride. He took his licks, and, good for him. But this person talking about toxicity and everybody saying is, first off, a gigantic hypocrite. This is the most toxic person that I've ever met, hands down. I'll say just one recent interaction. I think the first time that I ran into this person in many years, it was back in August of last summer. I was doing my Fringe Festival shows. What was it called? From Inside the House. Not very good show. The third one was good, but I should have waited another year. I had just finished my last show for the week, and I had a couple hours to kill uptown before they started doing like the award ceremonies and stuff at the Fringe Festival that, just in case I won something. Didn't. I had a couple hours to kill, and I knew this person who didn't like me was putting on her open mic show. And I'm friends with a lot of the comedians, especially the ones in St. John. I feel like I get along much better with people that I regularly see face-to-face and have actual conversations. The internet people are a little bit more upset with me most of the time. I had some time to kill, and I wanted to check out this new show. And I had some friends that were on it. My plan was to just, not cause a scene. I was just going to sit in the corner and have a drink and watch the show, see my friends tell some jokes. But of course my friend Michelle was sitting right in the front and was like, "Oh, John, come sit here." So now I'm sitting right in the front, directly in front of this person that hates my guts, which was a little bit uncomfortable, but, this person approached me and was like, "Oh, do you want to do a set?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's nice. But, I've had some drinks. I've had a little bit to smoke. I'm usually straight edge on stage. So thank you, but no thank you." And then she was like, "Well, you know what? If you change your mind, just let me know." And, I thought about it for a couple minutes. I'm like, I'm a little bit inebriated now, but I've been running this show all week. So there's, like, I can probably do this joke. I've got it in the can. So I said, if you want me to do a set, I'll do a set. And she put me on, like, right when I wanted to go on. I did my set. It went well. Everything was good. After the show, one of the other comedians was like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, "What? I came to watch. What's..." apparently, this person had been ranting and raving about me for about 30 minutes to all of the other comedians. I have not interacted with this person in like 2 years up until that point. Maybe not. Or I think this person practically begged me to do their show in Halifax last time I was there in like February 2020, right before COVID. I hadn't interacted with her since then. But apparently she was ranting and raving at me. I got told this person who's looking for social justice and positivity in the world was just ranting and raving about how terrible of a person that I am. And I come to find out that she books this show by sending people angry messages over Facebook, many of which to my close friends, trash-talking me within the, hey, do you want to come do my show message, which is weird. But that's fine. I did her show a couple of times. It was fine. I did one set where I was kind of testing the limits of what she would put up with from me. And, I did a bit of a dicey set, to poke a little bit, I'll be honest. But I did well. Looked like she was kind of scolding me from the corner, so I thought that she was mad. But after that show, she specifically told me that, you know, one of my lines was like the joke of the night. It got the biggest laugh, so that was nice. But this person's been going on about the toxicity, and when I had her on this show, at the very end, I asked her for kind of an updated opinion on the St. John comedy scene, and of course she trashed the whole thing. We were getting along great. I drove her home. I probably shouldn't have put myself alone in a car with her. Nothing happened and no accusations were made, so dodged a bullet. As I'm dropping her off, I kind of gave her my sob story about how it's, you know, it's stressful not knowing who's mad at you and just assuming that everybody's mad at you that's not booking you. And she, as she was getting out of my car, assured me that she's got some stuff coming up and she'll certainly be reaching out to me because she's not mad. And then the next day, boom, wall of text about how I didn't give her enough time to properly take a dump on the St. John comedy scene because it only came up in the last 5 minutes of the episode. But it was mostly she was just screeching about how all the hobbyists in St. John that won't do her show and are therefore not real comedians. I made the mistake of saying, well, I mean, when you were booking the show, you were sending very aggressive messages, often insulting me within them. Maybe that's not the best tactic. And then it became about me and how terrible of a person that I am, and my material sucks, and I've got a gigantic ego, and I demand to be treated like a rock star by everybody. I'm sorry if I do that. I don't think I do. Just completely freaking out at me, and I just, you know, I threw some digs in, obviously, because I'm the king of the rotten. You know, that was, I was having fun with that interaction. She was losing her mind, and I was winding her up a little bit, I admit it. Anyway, I haven't been dealing with this person since then, but more recently, this person is booked on a show with me coming up, and there's a group chat for the show, and one comedian made some comment about, or no, this is for a different show, never mind. But anyway, it's a group chat for a show. This is a general, it's Shane Ogden's Pub Down Under show. There's a group chat for it. It's every 2 weeks, so it's just kind of a, hey, who wants to do the show this week kind of a thing. Within that chat, one of the comedians made some comment about how some other show is, what did they say? Something about like a fat girl support group session or something like that, which I agree is a little mean. I mean, in the context of a group chat with other comedians, I mean, I wouldn't have said it. And then somebody else made a joke about how they're going to show up to do the show in blackface, which as a statement, as a joke, who cares? That's fine. If the person actually showed up to a show in blackface, maybe that's a reason for concern, but saying it in a group chat, trying to be funny, shut up. And then it, that just kind of passed by. Nobody gave it much notice or comment. There was a little bit of riffing back and forth with some of the comedians. And then on Sunday, several days after this whole interaction, 3-4 days, I want to say, I'm not really sure. This toxic garbage person takes a screenshot of said comments and posts it in the same group chat that everybody saw before, and was going on railing about the toxicity and how everybody in St. John sucks and we need to be more inclusive, and this kind of nonsense is why, you know, the scene won't grow and we're scaring people away. Blah, blah, blah. A couple of white knights jumped in to be like, you're right, there is a lot of toxicity in this scene. But I noticed, as she's ranting and raving, block of text, block of text, block of text, block of text, you can see this person has left the chat. 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 One of those people that left the chat was somebody that made one of the comments that she was mad at. The other three, completely unrelated, they were leaving, obviously, because she was having a public meltdown. And, you know, I throw in my very helpful constructive comment about, can we have a safe and exclusive group chat without having to endure somebody's public meltdown? And then, of course, oh, John Forward, blah, block of text, block of text, block of text. And about how toxic everything was, and I said, you know what, 4 people left the group chat because of your ranting and raving. Nobody cared about the joke that you're mad at. So, I mean, who's being more exclusive? Block of text, John Forward, blah, blah, blah. She said, I hope you die in your sleep, which is a mean thing to say, but I didn't think too much of it. And eventually I got fed up because this is like top of the social justice warrior. I threw in an anecdote, which is true. I'm going to quickly go through it. We're going short on time. This person, social justice, alpha, I got a complaint from a female audience member that a comedian on my show was sexually harassing her and sending her dick pics and being kind of a creep. I was very uncomfortable with that. I felt it was an ugly thing to find out, and I felt like, I mean, I didn't do it, but I felt like I should do something. I didn't know what to do. I don't want to go all cancel culture. And the person that told me this story was not pushing for me to, like, ban them from my show or anything, but I felt like I had to do something. So I don't know if this is the best thing. But what I decided was I sent a message to this person. I said, look, I've heard that you've been doing this, this, and that. It needs to stop. If you want to ever be booked on my show again, I don't want to hear any more stories like this. And, you know, the person just was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'd found out that this person had reached out to other show bookers. Like, did you hear anything about me? Like, my intention was not to cancel this person. I just wanted them to stop being a creep. And anyway, so this person got to pretend like they didn't know what I was talking about. And as far as I can tell, the behavior has stopped. So I think it was a successful interaction. That person has been back on my show, which some people would argue, and I see your point. Maybe I should never have had him back on. That's debatable. But Alpha Social Justice Warrior at the next No Jokes Barred show of mine that she did found out from her friend that her friend was the sexual harasser, and this person went up to the lady who complained about being sexually harassed and told her face to face, you've got the wrong idea about this guy, which is not a great approach for a social justice warrior to take when somebody's been accused of sexual harassment. So I throw that anecdote in there, and I said, this person is just a bully, and they hide behind social justice as a means to bully other people. This is the most toxic and person who wants to exclude as many people as possible. And I didn't sign up for this Everybody Sucks But Me workshop, and I bowed out of the chat. Apparently she kept going on in the chat about me, trying to tag me, then I was no longer there. She sent me a message this morning that, you know, here, gigantic wall of text, as you can see. Some of the, she's calling me, hey, lying sack of literal shit. She's saying I'm lying about this thing that I said about her. Denies it. She says, you want to make shit up? I'll set you the fuck straight in ways you can understand. You think you've seen my bad side? I think she meant side. You've seen nothing yet. And at the end of it, men like you should be harvested for parts. So I replied, unsubscribe. And I blocked her. But apparently she kept going on in this other thread about me. Somebody sent me a screenshot. One of the comments that this person who loves justice and kindness in the world says, and I'd love to see him beaten and dead. Heart emoji. Like a mascot for your kind. She's talking trash to one of the other comics in there. I'm happy to help and plan to at the next show. Which is a literal threat that she's going to help beat me to death at my next show. Words don't register with you. I know how to make it sink in. You guys feel safe now? I can change that. And will. This is the person that wants, you know, safe, inclusive spaces. So, that's kind of yucky, and I don't feel good about it. It's no longer fun. I've been in fights with this person several times over the years. It has never taken this kind of a violent tone before. Dear Lord is right, ENST. I hope that this person is just talking smack, but she's lost her mind, and I don't know what she's capable of. And I know what would happen to me if I talked like that to any other comedian in this scene. And now, the silver lining to all of this. Usually, when some lunatic is piling on and out to get me like this, not many people have my back. I know there are people that quietly support me, but they generally keep their mouth shut. Because they don't want to get yelled at too, and they don't want to get kicked off shows because they backed me up. But this, I haven't seen anybody who doesn't have my side in this, and everybody's been very supportive. I made a post in our private Facebook stand-up group. Just, you know, hey, as a community, how do we feel about comedian A saying da-da-da-da-da to comedian B? And of course, everybody was horrified. I didn't say who it was. I've gotten a pile of, like, messages like, who is it? What's going on? And I am happy to tell them. And, I mean, you know, yesterday, one of the other admins in the Facebook group, when she had made the comment about, like, how she wished I would die in my sleep, I was like, should we kick her out of the stand-up group? And I was like, nah, I don't know. I don't want to be all cancel culture-y. She's just venting. I'm not too worried about it. But, you know, the other stuff that I should be harvested for parts and that she wants to help beat me to death at my next show, I feel like that's a step too far. And I'm getting tired of it. This is disgusting behavior. I don't know that I fear for my life or anything. I don't want to be dramatic. But this is completely unacceptable. And the more I thought about it, if I found out that any comedian A said these things to any comedian B, regardless of what I think of either of them, regardless of what gender each of them are, I would boot that person out of the stand-up group and I would never book them again. Without hesitation, I would do that. Comment from Stephanie, I have your back. You are a badass and a great person. You don't deserve such BS. Holy F, what things for her to say, but I get what you mean about cancel culture. It is disgusting. So at first I was like, I don't want to boot her out of the stand-up group. And then I made that post to kind of test the waters, and you know what? I'm an admin in the stand-up group. Guess what? Block from group. Block Chanel. Oh, well. Cat's out of the bag. Block, comedian A's future profiles. Confirm. Bye. How do you like them apples? So that's done. Hopefully nobody else disagrees with that. I don't think I'm abusing my power. I think that's something that I would do in any other circumstance if I wasn't involved. Eric Payne says, ask yourself, if you are a woman, would you look for an order of protection? Probably. Stephanie believes in actual equality. She should get no privileges because she is a woman. Crazy is just that. I'm no fan of the police, but I did call them earlier today and I told them what happened. I don't know what to do about it. I'm not pressing charges. I don't even think that I could. But I don't know what this person is capable of, so I wanted to have it on record in case she does show up and does some crazy nonsense. So she's out. If the other admins disagree with my decision, then we'll do what we can. But anyway, so that's that. Again, I thank everybody who for your kind words and support. I appreciate it. I'm happy to say I was talking to one of the other female comedians today, and this person has a long list of other female comedians and male comedians too, that they've had these kind of interactions with, not as violent as usual, but this is a pattern of toxic behavior. And just because she's a woman and just because she's somebody that presents as a social justice warrior, I don't think we should put up with it. And again, I'm not big on people's kind of social behavior outside of comedy having that affect their stage time, but this is different. This is a comedian threatening to beat to death another comedian at a show. So I don't think this person should be in our stand-up group. She creates an unsafe space. And I'm tired of it. So I hope you're with me. Maybe I'm abusing my power. Maybe I'm being a baby. But anyway, the other female comedian that I was saying, like, as I told her, like, you know, this person says that I've got a terrible rep with the female comedians. And this female comedian was like, I don't think so. We talk, and your name has not come up. We've got a list, and you're not on it. So I'm like, whew. All my corpses are buried well. So, anyway, good riddance. Anyway, we're coming up on the end of the show. That was cathartic. Thank you for being a part of it. St. John Forward Radio, every Monday from 9 till 10 p.m. here on Local 107.3. Also streaming on John Forward Comedy on Facebook and YouTube. Last week, I should note, I did something wrong, so the video stream, the audio just cut out every time I played a song. Johnforward.podbean.com has the audio versions, and the music generally survives that. So check that out. What do I got coming up? I've got a show at the Five and Dime coming up in a couple of weeks, I think. I believe that is on June 15th. I've got a show at on Friday, June 10th at the St. John Marina. You can reach out to Shane Ogden for tickets with that. My tormentor is also on that show, so this should be interesting. Awkward. So anyway, that's the show. Thanks for listening. JohnForward.com is the website. That's also my Instagram handle, JohnForward, DOTCOM. Check it out. I'll be back next week. Thank you for tuning in. Where's the outro song? Oh my gosh, there it is. Thank you for listening. My throat is sore. Good night. Show me you care. I'm Dorothy waiting in the tornado, taking me, I don't know where.
I sit in the back of the plane as they tell me the rules of the game. Now,